Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this series of episodes, we are looking at how we can translate the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and Indian system of healthcare into our modern lives. I'm often surprised how some of these very simple kitchen spices, kitchen remedies that I use in my practice in London, based in my clinic in Marylebone, when I share this, I'm always surprised, like, how can they really work so well when my patients give me a feedback that they tried some of these recipes for simple health upsets, you know, not major. This is conditions, but often, you know, we can have a little bit of constipation or sometimes acidity, or we might feel like we have overdone alcohol or partied a lot, and that our liver does need a little bit of help to support increasing its detoxification, or sometimes we might just want to do something which is natural, devoid of chemicals, that's not too expensive to support with our skin. And in all these situations, I recollect my times when I was an internee just after finishing my undergrad. We went to these villages where we had to do our medical duties of looking after hygiene in these villages, helping them give information about sexual health, fertility, how to look after their children so that they're not malnourished. And we, as young doctors, were thinking, yeah, we have so much to offer to these villagers in India. But then, in return, they gave me an abundant amount of wisdom, which is about how to use vegetables, spices, simple herbs to manage with everyday health upsets. So today, I'm going to be sharing with you recipes that I have learned which really work, and you can try them. Of course, you know, if you have a health condition, you must come and see a practitioner like me or someone else who is a qualified health professional to sort it out. But if it is a short-term health upset like constipation, then you can try these recipes. So let me get going with recipes that I want to share with you today. This is summer, and obviously you can find a lot of gourds, and like bottle gourd, bitter gourd, ash gourd. Of course, for many of you, these might be new vegetables. What I would suggest is go and find an Indian shop nearby or an Asian veggie shop, and then look in the cold section of fresh produce, and you will see some of these new vegetables that you can discover, which particularly now are in season in summer, and one of that is bottle gourd. In fact, bottle gourd is in Hindi, in some areas of India, are called loki, and in some areas of India, they're called dudi. And of course, you know, if you type bottle gourd in your internet, you will be able to see what it looks like. It's B-O-T-T-L-E, bottle gourd, G-O-U-R-D, gourd. And bottle gourd is fantastic because it has very high water content. It has abundant amount of fiber, and it's very low in carbs. Obviously, this is the kind of food that we want to cleanse our digestive system, to help with cleansing our skin. Even internally, by taking this, it really helps in skin health, it helps in liver detoxification, it helps with our digestive system. It's so cooling, and the preparation of this is very, very easy. What you do is you take this bottle gourd, and you know, it has got this, it's a long gourd. You can peel off the skin like you would do, let's say, for zucchini. But if you don't want to peel up the skin, you don't have to. I don't peel the skin off bottle gourd. I just wash it nicely, and then I chop it much like cucumber, and then I put it in a juicer, like a blender, and then I juice it. You don't need to really add water initially. It has lots of water content. You may have to add a little bit of water to get the right consistency for you. Otherwise, it turns up like more like a soup rather than a juice. So you can sieve it through and get just a clear liquid from bottle gourd, which is also fine. But I always say not to do that because I want to get the benefit of the fiber in them. So I use the fiber with the juice together and just add some water and about 60 milliliters. Actually, I go up to 150 to 200 milliliters, like one proper glass of bottle gourd juice. And if you add to this bottle gourd juice, squeeze a little bit of lemon or lime, and you have this like about once or twice daily, you will see that your bowel movement gets to get better. It helps in better stool formation. It helps in motility. It is cooling and it is very refreshing. So if many of the home remedies or over-the-counter products that you have tried for constipation is not working this season, try bottle gourd. And this, if you can't find bottle gourd, let's say if you don't have access to an Indian shop or an Asian veggie shop where you can't find bottle gourd, don't worry. For constipation, in fact, banana with a little bit of honey. If you're not diabetic, if you don't have sugar issues, then I would say, just mash up banana and add a little bit of honey and then have this at bedtime. Make it a practice. Over a period of time, you will see that your bowel movements become regular. So you can use banana with honey, or you could use lemon juice with honey. Just squeeze half a lime or lemon and then add about a teaspoon of good honey. I always use local honey, or I use very high quality honey like Manuka from New Zealand. And you add this, you mix it together, and then you have about, half a lime or lemon with a teaspoon of honey, and you take that like about once or twice daily. That also will help with constipation. In fact, I'm going to be introducing to you quite a few gourds because I think it is summer and it's good to explore some new vegetables which are cooling and refreshing. So the next one that I want you to try is ash gourd, A-S-H-G-O-U-R-D, ash gourd. Type it on your internet and search for what ash gourd looks like. And ash gourd, again, is very commonly available in Asian shops and in Indian shops in the fresh produce section. So it looks a little bit like pumpkin, but like pumpkin has these kind of nice ridges and it's very, very kind of a pumpkin color, but yellowish, but ash gourd is not. As the name says, ash gourd, it kind of has this ashy kind of color. It's like kind of green and ash like combined. It doesn't have ridges. It can be quite large as well. But of course, the ones that I find in London shops are not large. They are slightly smaller, but still, like the size of a honey melon or maybe a little bit bigger than that. And this ash gourd is, again, a fantastic vegetable. It's very similar to bottle gourd. Bottle gourd has very high water. Ash gourd has very high water content. And ash gourd also has very good fiber in them. And its glycemic index or its sugar levels or carbohydrate levels are very low. In fact, if you're looking at juicing, detoxing, you want to lose weight, you want to give your digestive system a little bit of break with these good vegetables, then go for ash gourd. Ash gourd, you can also cook it, you can just steam it and eat it like you would do broccoli with a little bit of pepper and salt, and you can add spices too. But now, coming back to ash gourd, where would I use ash gourd? I suggest ash gourd is if you have acidity or sour belching. Sometimes either because of poor gut microbial situation, or because we may not be tolerating certain foods, we may react to certain foods which are spicy, or maybe if you have eaten too many fatty foods, or it's just that, you know, acidity is a feature for some, you know, especially when we don't sleep well, if we are very stressed and if we are not eating properly, of course, acidity can be a problem. And as we know, there's so many antacids that are there over the counter. And in fact, just taking them without good medical knowledge and without really bothering about the side effects is not such a great idea. But if you start to use vegetables, like what I'm talking about, like ashwagandha, to help with your heartburn, it's actually a much better choice, where you can avoid over-the-counter antacids. Or if you truly have Helicobacter pylori or esophageal reflux or heartburn that's related to a medical problem which is chronic, you definitely would have to go and see a doctor. And even when you see a doctor, I have found that those patients who come to see me, when I ask them to do this, it does have a very good effect, because this is just food. And then you can use food for the benefits of the therapeutic effects that these foods have on us. With ashwagandha, what you want to do is you, in a very similar way to bottle gourd, you are going to kind of cut the ashwagandha into smaller pieces, and then you're going to take cubes of it, like chunks of it, like how you would chop pumpkin. I would say with ashwagandha, you don't want to use the skin because it's quite thick, like pumpkin. So if you're cooking pumpkin, you're not going to use the skin. I mean, of course, you can bake it or cook it with the skin, but you're not necessarily going to eat the skin. So in a similar way, with ashwagandha, because I want you to make a juice of ashwagandha, you don't want the skin. You just want to scoop it off and then, you know, with a knife, and then take about few chunks of this ashwagandha, much like you would do a smoothie. How much? Maybe about half a cup. Or even go, you can go up to one cup of it and then juice it. Use a blender or a juicer and juice it. Again, I would not serve it because I want the fibers, but if there's somebody who thinks, you know, it's not very nice to have it with the fiber, then yeah, serve it and get the kind of clear juice out of it. And to that, you can add a little bit of honey and, of course, about a quarter or half of a lime or lemon. And then this ashwagandha juice mixed with honey and lemon, if you take about 30 milliliters or even 60 milliliters just before you are having food, then it really helps in reducing heartburn or acidity. You can also have it straight after eating, so that there's it helps with that, not having that experience of belching and things coming back up and that heartburn. In fact, if you use ashwagandha over a period of time, it does help also in healing ulcers because it has ulcer healing properties. Again, you know, these are not substitutes for your medical consultation, but these are really good foods that you can use to help in improving your gut health, acidity. Well, there's another recipe that I learned from these villages in India, and which is like not just villages, even in cities, you know, like home remedies, where there are these mothers and aunties and grandmothers, great grandmothers, who have this amazing wisdom of just putting few things together to help people in the family when they have certain health upsets. Acidity is a very common one, especially if you like food. And if food doesn't like you, acidity can be very common. And you can imagine there are many home remedies that can help with acidity. Antacid or over-the-counter antacid doesn't have to be always the answer to it. So this one, you need coriander seeds. Coriander seeds, you know, like I'm sure all of us know coriander leaves because they are easily available in markets and supermarkets, but what you need here are coriander seeds. And coriander seeds, you need about 1 teaspoon I would always have a bit of a heavy hand, so I would go for 2 teaspoons. Coriander has kind of this bitter taste, so start with 1 teaspoon. What you want to do is about a teaspoon, or in my case, I would go for about 2 teaspoons. And usually, I also use my eye measure for home remedies. Take a handful of coriander seeds and you soak it in water. And to that, you also add about 10 raisins. Yeah? So you have 10 raisins, a teaspoon of coriander seeds, soaked in a little bit of water, and you soak it overnight. And you know, when you're soaking it, also try and crush the coriander seeds, because coriander seeds, they have this very tough shell outside of them. And if you don't crush it, none of its ingredients or phytoconstituents or natural chemicals are going to get into the water. So take a handful or a teaspoon or 2 teaspoons of coriander seeds and then crush it. You know, it's great to invest in a good pestle and mortar. You know, not the ones where you just mix powders like in the old compounding days, which I'm sure none of us have seen. Maybe some of you have seen, like compounders. They would use these powders, white powders, and they would mix it in this porcelain pestle and mortar. You know, I'm not talking about that. You really need a solid one, like a granite one, which is heavy to lift. And then you pound it, and then you break the coriander seeds, and then you put these crushed coriander seeds along with raisins and soak it overnight. And you soak it overnight, and in the morning, you are going to, again, kind of mix it properly, mash it a little bit, get as much as you can get out of this soaked raisins and coriander, and then you serve it. And you serve it, and then you get about, like, let's say 100 milliliters of this coriander raisin tea. It is called cold tea because, you know, you have soaked it overnight. You're not going to heat it up. And this is so refreshing. And it's so nice in its flavor, in its aromas, and its taste. And then you drink this in the morning, or you can drink it, you can save it, you can drink it before having food or straight after having food. But also, when you get into the practice of doing this, it can help with reducing acidity.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, here we go. So, we have portal gourd for constipation. We have ash gourd for acidity. We have coriander seeds for acidity. And what else can we do? You know, something that you can do, which I learned, is really milk and jaggery. I personally try and avoid milk, particularly A1 type of cow's milk, because, you know, it can have allergens, and if you're lactose intolerant, it's not a good idea. Whereas, you know, if you're not sensitive or allergic to milk, then you can always go for a good milk. I would suggest go for whole fat A2 milk. You know, the difference between A1 and A2, like in A1, there are different breeds of cows or hybrids from where we get the milk. And the particular protein in milk called casein, it tends to be an allergen, especially if it comes from this A1 type of cows. Whereas A2 milk is pure breed, and it's like the ancient native breeds of cows. And through research, we have found that this A2 milk actually is less allergenic, and it doesn't have the same inflammatory effect that A1 milk has. I mean, in fact, goat's milk is naturally A2 milk. So, but I'm not suggesting goat's milk here. I'm actually suggesting A2 type of cow's milk. And if you can get that, whole fat, always go for whole fat. If fat has been taken out of milk, it is denatured. Anything that's denatured, you have to think of them as processed foods. And you know that processed foods do not have a great effect on our body because it can cause inflammation. So it's very important the kind of foods that you choose are of good quality. They don't have to be expensive, but they have to be of good quality. So it just takes a little bit of attention from you to pay attention to when you are buying foods. So with cow's milk, so you're just going to, it's actually cold milk, you know, you're just going to pour about half a glass of milk. You're going to add what is called jaggery. Again, you need to go and do a bit of shopping in Asian shops or Indian shops. Particularly jaggery is available in Indian shops. Jaggery, J-A-G-G-E-R-Y, jaggery. And jaggery is a natural sugar that is produced by squeezing sugar canes. I mean, in fact, I remember when I was doing my medical camps, when I just graduated, when we had to go to villages and we had to kind of move from one village to the next village, we would stay in those villages overnight. And then we would be seeing like about 200 or 300 patients a day, not just me as one person, but, you know, it was a whole team, but still it was very busy because, and often what we saw was these amazing places next to this sugarcane fields where they made this jaggery. And it's like huge sugarcane fields. And then next to that, there will be a setup, which is where, you know, they dig a huge pit and then they extract this jaggery juice, like them. So these machines that kind of squeeze out sugarcane juice. And the sugarcane juice comes and fills these pits, and then they do some process to it. And then they put it in molds and it becomes these solid blocks of jaggery. Interestingly, the darker the jaggery, the more brown it is, it has more minerals. It also has all these fibers. I'm sure we can relate to it if you know molasses. You know, like in New Zealand, we used to use a lot of molasses. And molasses is used on your toast. It's used, with your food. And it's quite nice. It's like kind of thick. It's rich. It's dark. It's full of iron. It's full of minerals. So molasses is much better than sugar. And this is another form of molasses where it is solidified and it is called jaggery. And in fact, you can get different kinds of jaggery. Some are light in color. Some are really dark brown in color. Some are so solid that you need a hammer to break them. But that's depending on the processes that they use to turn this sugarcane juice into jaggery. This is different from coconut palm sugar or coconut palm nectar. Jaggery is from sugarcane. What you want to do is like you're just going to, I mean, you can always have a block of jaggery in your home. You know, you can use it as a natural sweetener. And you grate this jaggery much like you would grate cheese through a cheese, using a cheese grater. You grate this jaggery into your milk. How much? About a teaspoon maybe, or 2 teaspoons, depending on the amount of milk. And then you drink this milk with jaggery. And this can really help in reducing heartburn or sore belching. So those are some of what we can do in terms of home remedies for constipation and for acidity. I mean, in fact, the next topic that I want to touch upon is about how we can support our liver to detox. As we know, liver is an amazing organ, you know, which does so many tasks, and one of it is really detoxification. I mean, in fact, liver can get overworked because anything that we eat, either in the form of food or medication or supplements, nutritional supplements, they all have to be processed by the liver, especially if they're taking it orally. And then liver gets overstressed. So sometimes it's really good to give the liver a little bit of rest or even to encourage its detoxification. And what can we do? You know, liver detoxification, particularly from a holistic perspective, is really something very useful to help with your skin, to help with your blood, to reduce inflammation in the skin. So if you have dry skin, or if you have been noticing some fungal skin, or fungal toe or athlete's foot, which is not responding to treatments, or even when you're doing those treatments, it's actually good to support your liver. And if you have like some dry patches of skin, like let's say like some old eczema or reappearance of psoriasis, in all these conditions, it's really good to support the liver. Because if you overdo alcohol, if you have too many fatty foods, then liver gets stressed and it becomes, then it can result in inflammation, which further contributes towards aggravating the skin conditions. So in general, to keep our skin looking glowing and young and youthful, it's good to do liver detox. And how often? Yeah, you can do it once a month, or you can do it twice a month. Definitely, you can do it once in a season. And how do you do that? So all that you need are aloe vera juice, ginger juice, lemon juice, and you are going to mix these. Okay, when it comes to aloe vera juice, you can buy a good source of organic aloe vera juice. So for me, I currently don't have aloe growing in my balcony, so I would have to get aloe vera juice. So I just order organic aloe vera juice. But if you have access to aloe, if you are growing aloe, aloes, they do grow very well. You know, even in England, they grow very well. And now we have got such nice warm weather during the summer that it's a good time to start to grow some aloe. And with aloe vera juice, how do you really juice aloe if you have fresh aloe? As you know, like aloe vera, it has these thorny bits. It has these long, fleshy leaves. And you take a leaf and you have to really shave off the thorny bits, because it's in these thorns or those spikes that are at the edges. If any of it gets into our system, it can produce histamines. And then there can be an allergy or histaminic reaction. It really can cause itching in your throat, which is not nice. I mean, we can imagine that the reason why these aloes, they have such histamine-producing thorns, is to protect themselves as a species not to be eaten up by other animals, so that they can actually survive, that they don't become extinct. So obviously, like we have our skin, aloe has its own skin to protect itself. But then, you know, shave off these and then wash it thoroughly. Wash it several times in clean water, dry it. And then you have to also remove the skin. And when it comes to removing the skin, it can be a bit tricky, but you will get the hang of it. You know, maybe watch a couple of YouTube videos to see how to actually juice aloe. And then when you really, you know, like kind of, remove the skin, and then you have this, mucilaginous jelly-like cubes. Cut them into cubes, and what I do is I just take a plate and then I lay out these cubes. And a trick that I learned in Ayurveda is to use a powder called Triphala, T-R-I-P-H-A-L-A, Triphala powder. And Triphala, it has three fruits, but these are tree fruits. I mean, they're not like sweet fruits, they're really bitter. And in fact, the seeds of these fruits are used, and it's a harikaki, Bibita Ken Amalek. One of it we might know is Indian gooseberry. You know, is the seeds of or the dried Indian gooseberry is one of the contents of this triphala. I mean, it's good source of vitamin C. They have very high antioxidants, and this combination as triphala, Haritaki, Bibitaki, Amalaki, they are very good prebiotics. Also, they help in improving digestion, improving enzymatic secretion, better absorption of food, better formation of stools. They actually can act as mild laxatives, and then they can keep our gut health in a state of balance. So, in fact, they have a positive effect on improving vision, on reducing inflammation in the skin. Triphala is like this, a very fantastic combination of three herbs, which is very commonly used by those who know triphala, obviously. And I use it in my practice a lot. I prescribe triphala to many of my patients. Almost triphala is one of the go-to kind of prescription for my patients. And this triphala, you can buy this powder. You can buy organic triphala powder. So if you take organic triphala powder and then you just kind of sprinkle organic triphala powder on these cubes of aloe, and then you leave it overnight. You know, you can cover it in a glad wrap and leave it overnight on the kitchen bench. You don't have to even put it in the fridge. Don't put it in the fridge, basically. And then in the morning, when you see that it will have turned into a nice, kind of slightly brown liquid, because triphala has tannins, and tannins, as you know, like coffee, like kind of, they are brownish. So they turn this kind of slightly greenish, wheatish, grayish aloe into a more brownish liquid. But this is a potent combination. You know, you can even apply it on your skin as a cleansing agent, or you can actually drink it. But now I'm going to ask you for liver detox to drink it. So you take about 30 to 50 milliliters of this aloe vera juice with triphala, and then also have ginger juice. Again, you know, fresh ginger, grated and squeezed. You can have it with fiber too, which is what I do. And how much ginger juice? You, for about, let's say, 50 milliliters of aloe vera juice, I would say add about a teaspoon of ginger juice, which is about 5 milliliters. And then again, squeeze about half a lime or half a lemon. And this actually is a very good combination. You can just drink it, let's say, 2 times daily. Even you can do it 3 times daily if you're an adult and if you're in good health. And you can do it for a week. You can do it for 2 weeks. Don't go beyond 2 weeks, because you just want to give your body a break from, you know, aloe, ginger and lemon on a daily basis. And when you do this, it really helps in liver, encouraging liver's ability to detox. And you will start to notice that your skin looks better, there's a greater glow, you feel lighter, your digestion is better. Something that really I would suggest you must try, because that's very helpful. In fact, you know, what we just were talking about, and I mentioned this bottle gourd. In fact, you can mix bottle gourd, aloe vera, ginger, and lemon too, which also is very detoxifying. And why not? You further can also use ash gourd. So like you have your ash gourd, bottle gourd, ginger, lemon. And, you know, if you're making a smoothie, then you can actually use aloe vera juice, ginger juice, lemon juice. You can have some bottle gourd juice. You can also have some ash gourd juice. And to this, you can add coriander leaves and mint leaves. So this combination of mint, coriander, aloe vera, bottle gourd, ash gourd with lemon juice and ginger juice with a little bit of Himalayan rock salt. You can add a little bit of pepper. You have this as your smoothie in the morning. It's very good for the gut. It has a detoxification effect. It helps in improving the health of your skin. There's greater glow. It reduces any kind of pigmentation issues over a period of time, brings down inflammation. And overall, you feel in general very good. You feel more lighter, you feel energized. So there's so much that we can do from our own kitchen. We don't need to always look for over-the-counter drugs or excessive use of medication for simple health upsets and also as a prevention or to develop these healthy routines. Because the whole concept of Ayurveda is really about developing healthy routines. You really want to get into the ritual of looking after yourself. And when we do this on a regular basis, you'll see that over a period of time, you will have developed very good, healthy nutritional routines, healthy lifestyle, which of course will reflect in how youthful, energetic, healthy you remain, and it also reduces the risk for chronic illnesses. So incorporating healthy routines into our everyday life is at the core of Ayurveda. And of course, what today I'm talking to you are home remedies which actually come from those who don't even or may not have had a formal understanding of Ayurveda, but has been in the family, in their community as a common knowledge which they will have used for centuries and centuries. So what else can you do for liver detox? What you can do is, if you don't have access to aloe vera and ash gourd or bottle gourd, a simple thing would be really cilantro and ginger juice. Get cilantro or coriander leaves and then you spin it through a blender or a juicer and you do it for about get about 100 milliliters or 150 milliliters of this juice. To that you can add ginger juice and you can also add a little bit of lemon juice. I mean, in fact, it's the chlorophyll. The chlorophyll in cilantro, I mean coriander. I think cilantro is an American term for coriander and coriander leaves. And that's what helps in actually helping encouraging the detoxification of the liver. I mean, in fact, you can also not just do this as seasonal, but you can actually incorporate some of these ingredients into your smoothie, especially, you know, in summer. Generally, our appetite is not that great in summer. It becomes a little bit diminished compared to winter. In winter, we are like always wanting to have food and always wanting to have warm food. But in summer, it feels like warm food is not so enticing. And because the appetite is not that great, then we feel like having more cold foods or cooling foods. But then when we think of cooling foods, all that we can think of, or sometimes, is really ice creams and these fizzy drinks. And they're all so much full of sugar. But if you get into the practice of making some of these refreshing, cooling drinks that I've been talking about today, you will see that you will enjoy it as much as you enjoy a lemonade, a bubbly. I mean, I'm not going to say this is going to be as tasty and refreshing as champagne, but certainly it can be a good alternative. Not for champagne, obviously, but, you know, you don't need to really kind of spoil your health by drinking lots of chilled white wine and champagne and prosecco and these fizzy drinks in summer to quench your thirst. But you can get into using these cooling herbs and cooling vegetables, and that can greatly help. So what can we do if occasionally, if we suffer from cold and coughs? You know, I mean, cold and cough is something that can come in any season. And of course, you know, when you are worn out, when you work too much, when you are stressed, if you are not eating properly, your nutrition is not good, of course, we are prone to catch colds. And then sometimes it can turn into cough as well. Of course, you need to see your doctor if it is an infective cough. But in general, you know, like this persistent cough, dry cough, or even productive cough, and also when you feel like you're developing cold, it would be good to do some of these home remedies that I'm just going to share with you. This might surprise you, is actually having burnt onion and garlic. Okay, so what you are going to do is you're going to peel off the skin of onion, and then you're going to burn it. And of course, when you're burning it, you do need a gas stove. Like, you need open flame to burn it. You can't do it on an induction stove. Like, if you're living in one of these modern flats and apartments, they generally don't have gas stoves. They have these induction stoves, which sometimes can be quite inconvenient and annoying, because they're not the best, to be honest. But, you know, if you have gas stove, that's fantastic, because then you have open flame, you can control the flame, and you burn onions, and until then, you know, not until it becomes too smoky, it's really, you know, that it kind of has got a nice burnt texture, and you know, slightly softer, and also garlic as well. So for about one medium-sized onion, I would take about two or three cloves of garlic. And what you do then is, again, I think you need to get to your pestle and mortar. If you don't have a pestle and mortar, a blender, you know, an electric blender, put it through an electric blender or pestle and mortar, and then you make a nice paste out of it. And this one, you can actually store it. You can, don't kind of mix it with water, and if it comes in contact with moisture, and you know, then it can develop fungus, like with any other fresh food. But as long as you store it in a dry jar, airtight jar, and you only use spoon for that purpose, and you don't kind of mix spoons, and you're careful, it can actually stay for quite some time, maybe for weeks, actually. And what you want to do is you can just take about half a teaspoon or one teaspoon of that, and then you slowly kind of chew it. And then it's very soothing, because it's warming, it's healing, and it can soothe your throat. And it kind of gives you that kind of nice sensation when you feel so totally worn out during cold, or when you have had that kind of this nagging cough that's not subsiding. You also can do something else, is really to add honey to it. So in this jar, which has this burnt onion and burnt garlic, you are going to add about a teaspoon of honey, or a couple of teaspoons, or a tablespoon, depending on how big your quantity of burnt onion and garlic is. And then you kind of marinate it, and this becomes a nice cough mixture. You can just have a little bit of it, and like a linctus, you know, it doesn't have the same consistency of a linctus, but you know, it has the same effect of a cough linctus, like a cough mixture. Try this, burning onion and garlic. I'm not sure many would have done this, but if you have done it, do let me know how you, if you have done it before, or try it and let me know, you know, like if you have been able to do it and what's the effect of it. It's generally good for your respiratory system, you know, to keep it healthy, to keep it clear, not to have this sore throat. And if you kind of wake up in the morning feeling a bit mucusy, or you kind of experience this kind of sinus problems, then it would be good to have this burnt onion and burnt garlic, and as a mixture, with a little bit of honey, and you can have it. You don't need to always have honey, but honey actually adds to the very beneficial or therapeutic effect of this mixture of onion and garlic. And you can also actually to this add a little bit of salt and pepper, which makes it tasty. And also, you know, by adding salt and pepper, if there is any kind of dry cough, it helps in moistening the throat, moistening our kind of upper respiratory tract and produces that kind of nice kind of mucus, which kind of has that soothing effect. So you can have a little bit of black pepper and a little bit of salt. When I say salt, please don't go for table salt. It's not really good. Choose more of rock salt or sea salt. And especially if you use the pink salt, the Himalayan pink salt, which has so many minerals and they are really, really good. Then you can just, crush a little bit of pink Himalayan rock salt on it and you can have it. You know, just like you can use burnt onion and burnt garlic, you also can actually burn lemon or lime. I usually use lime. So if you burn lime, burn a whole lime, and then you squeeze the juice of it, and then to that you add honey. I'm sure we all know the practice of lemon and honey helping in cold and cough. You know, that's not new knowledge. It's very common knowledge. But what is interesting in these home remedies that I've learned is really burning the lemon, much like how you burn onion on open flame. You burn lemon and you squeeze the juice, and then to that you add honey, and that you can use it to help with cold and cough. I'm going to share with you another my favorite cold and cough remedy. And this remedy is something that I learned from my father.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I had just finished my undergrad and we had this internship, and I was also learning more by working in a hospital, and I often had like 18 hours. Sometimes it would even become 32-hour shifts, and I would come home feeling so exhausted. And my go-to was, because at the time I had more sinusitis and cold, I would just go and take an antihistamine and sleep it off, and then I would be ready for my next shift. My father noticed it. And he would say, why are you abusing your body by taking antihistamines unnecessarily? You are having the symptoms of cold because you are worn out. You're not sleeping well. You don't have enough rest. But then I would say, this is the time. I really need to learn. I need to work. I'm an internee. I really want to do my best. And I won't get another opportunity. So I would want to make the best use of the opportunity I have, learning from all these amazing doctors and professors in hospitals. Then he would say, well, then I'm going to prepare a drink for you and have this drink regularly and see how you feel. And believe me, it worked like wonders. And in my dad's drink, all that he had, this is all I measure, not even like 1 teaspoon, 2 teaspoons, not like a precise cake recipe. Just go with your I measure. So he would have a teaspoon or 2 teaspoon, or let's say half a hand full of cumin seeds, and he would roast this cumin seeds, and then he would crush it in a pestle and mortar. And then he would have about a teaspoon or 2 teaspoons of coriander seeds, and he would roast it and he would crush it. And then he would also take about an inch or 2 inches of cinnamon stick, you know, the cinnamon bark. And then he didn't roast that. He just would crush that. And then he also took about 2 or 3 or sometimes even 4 pods of cardamom, depending on how big they were. About 2 or 3 is fine if they're big. If they're small, take about 4. And then don't roast it, you know, crush it, because cinnamon and cardamom, they have these essential oils which are quite sensitive to heat, so you don't want to roast them. Whereas cumin and coriander, by roasting them, it kind of brings about the oils in them and then gives a nice, nice aroma as well. And so you have your cumin, you have your coriander seeds, you have your cinnamon stick, and you have your cardamom, and he would crush all of this, and also he would take about 2 or 3 inches of fresh ginger and then pound it in this pestle and mortar, and then all of that would go into a saucepan or even a wide pan where you have water, and when the water is just kind of boiling, you add all these spices. And to that, then he would add about 1/2 teaspoon of ginger powder, you know, the ginger root powder, dry ginger powder. He would add about 1 teaspoon or quite a generous serving of turmeric powder. And he would cook it for some time. And then while it is cooking, then he would add milk to it. For about 1/2 cup of water, he would add about 1/4 cup of milk. Always like milk to water quantity. Milk should be 1/2 of the water. And just a little bit. You know, you can also just do it through eye measure, like you would make tea with milk. And then you would cook it for quite some time. And you also can actually, along with the cinnamon and the cardamom, you can also add a couple of cloves. They are quite strong, but they are very powerful antibacterial. So, and this one, you just cook it for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then you sieve it. It becomes a delicious drink. To this, you can add a little bit of honey if you want, or my dad would just grate some jaggery to it. It's such a delicious drink. It's like the best version of a latte you can have. And then you drink this, you'll sleep well, your appetite gets better, your cold kind of feels so soothing, and you can try and do this. So there are so many recipes and home remedies from the wisdom traditions of Ayurveda that I've learned over the years and I've used. I would love to share more of these in the future episodes. Thank you for listening to Ayurveda, and I will connect with you next week. Have a lovely week. Take care until we meet next. Bye-bye.